everybody. Jeff Jones here. Welcome to the weekly Chase Oaks Church podcast. Before we dive in, I want to encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Chase Oaks Church app. The app is the best place to catch up on messages, engage with our community, and stay in the loop with everything going on around here. Most importantly, my hope is that today's message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Here we go. Hello, Chase Oaks, and welcome to Global Weekend and our Ripple Effect series. Whether you are online or you're at one of our physical locations right now, I'm actually at a location I can't talk about but right now in this video, but you will hear about it later because there's so many incredible things that we get to be involved in the world. That's one of the big questions in Ripple Effect series as we think about a world full of need is how do we in a culture of so much relative wealth possibly impact our world where there's so much poverty because the needs are so vast. Also, there's so much lack of knowledge of Jesus. Well, today you're going to be encouraged because you not only can be involved, you actually already are. We're already, through our partners overseas, able to do tremendous good. We want to be able to extend that. And for those who are not engaged yet, today you'll learn how to be engaged. Here's what's going to happen today. You're going to hear from Ray Diaz, who's one of our elders. That's our board of directors. He's the CEO of Orphan Outreach. He's going to give a short talk. He's a former pastor, too. Great person and communicator. You're going to enjoy that. And then Jack Warren, one of our executive pastors, is going to share our approach, our global strategy, followed up by an interview with John Stanley, our global pastor, and Ray, on more specifically what's going on in some of our projects in particular and how we can extend those and how we can participate. Thank you so much for being part of this service and for desiring to have a ripple effect in our world.
All right. Well, good evening, everyone. Jeff just introduced me with a few titles, and he was exaggerating a bit, but that's what pastors do, right? I'm going to give you a few more titles, though, that are important to me. I'm a husband. I've been married for 20 years. We celebrate 20 years this year. I'm a father of two incredible kids. I am also a Gator, Florida Gator. Go Gators. Probably nobody here. Yeah, it's always lonely over here in Texas. But I'm also a cat hater. Hater. I don't like cats. You're clapping for that. Wow. I have two cats. They don't like me, and I don't like them, and we'll keep it that. So I also have on my wife's phone, my contact on there. She gave me a nickname, and it's Lord Business. And that's the bad guy in the Lego movie, if you don't know. So it's not a compliment, and I can unpack that a different day. But I'm typically not that big into titles, but titles do give us a sense of what's important to someone, of what matters to someone, of what's significant to someone. So for example, if I were to say, hey, that's a mama bear, right? You know what that means, right? That's a mom, don't mess with her kids, right? Mama bear, simple. If you hear Aggie, Longhorn, Buckeye, someone who's has fan of college football, loves that school, loves that university, right? If you hear Swifty, right? Swifty's popular now. You know what that means, right? Someone who's got poor taste in music, right? That's kidding. Just kidding. My wife is a Swifty too, but coffee lover, simple, right? Don't have a coherent conversation with that person until they have coffee, right? So these titles tell us something about that individual. Well, God has some titles. And these titles make it clear as to what is important to God, of what matters to God, of what's at the center of God's heart. So this evening, I want to share a few of those titles. And I'm going to start with the title that Jesus gave God. And it's in Matthew chapter 6. He says, Our Father in heaven. It's the Lord's Prayer. And he gives God the title, Our Father. And that was scandalous 2,000 years ago, and it's still scandalous today, but it tells us what matters to God. It means that you matter to God, that all of us matter to God, so much so that he invites us to be part of his family and invites us to call us Father. So that's a title, that, and it means that you matter to God. That's not his only title. In the Old Testament, David wrote a poem, and he ascribed God this title in Psalm 68. He says, a father to the fatherless, A defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. Another title, God is also the father to the fatherless, right? That the fatherless, the orphan, the vulnerable, children at risk, children that don't have people to protect them, to fight for them, to defend them, to provide for them. Those children are not alone, that God identifies with them, cares for them, loves them, and says, I will be your father. I will provide. I will protect, right? That God is not just our heavenly father. He's also the father to the fatherless, right? And that means that the 153 million orphan and vulnerable children around the world, they matter to God. God cares about them. There's 713 million people living in extreme poverty today. The majority of those are children. They matter to God. That's a big number, and it's hard to even grasp what that means. So I want you to imagine the entire population of the United States, every single person in the United States, doubled. That's how big that is. We're in Texas, so let's just pretend we're just Texas-minded. Everything revolves around us. The entire population of Texas, every city in Texas, Houston, Dallas, Austin, all the cities, 24 states of Texas. That's how many people don't have access to basic services. And God says, they matter to me. That there's over 3 billion people. I'm not going to try to give you an analogy. Just a bulk of the world who have no access to the gospel. And these people, these children matter deeply to God, and he invites us to care for them. And these titles don't just tell us what's important to God. It's what God does with his titles. It's what God does with his power that makes it crystal clear. So I'm going to read a verse in Deuteronomy that gives God 6 or 7 titles. For the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. There's several titles there that all are given to God. But what's God do with these titles? What does God do with this power? He defends the cause of the fatherless, the widow, and loves the foreigner among you, giving them food and clothing. So get this. The most powerful defends the most vulnerable. God uses his power to defend, to fight for, to care for those that have no power. And that's the invitation on us, to use our treasure, our talents, our gifts, everything he's given us, our titles, to in service of others. Because these are God's children, and he cares for them, and he fights for them. I mentioned I have 2 kids. I have a 17-year-old and an 11-year-old, right? And some of the hardest days of the year are the dreaded parent-teacher conferences. Has anyone ever been to one of those? They're the worst, because I know my kids are not perfect, but I don't want you telling me that. I know. So every time I go on those parent-teacher conferences, I go in, stay calm, stay cool, stay collected. Take a deep breath, be open-minded, stay regulated. But the first negative thing they say, it's on. And it doesn't matter what they say, I defend it. Your daughter talks too much in class. Well, good, she's practicing to be a lawyer. She needs to talk, right? Your son runs around in class. Well, he's in track and field. He's got to get mileage and everything, right? So, and again, it's make bad excuses, but that's what parent-teacher conferences are like, until a couple years ago when I had a teacher sit me aside and say, hey, I need to tell you something. I'm sure you know this, but your son, he is brilliant. He is a quiet genius, and he should consider a job in the medical field because he's wired for that. How do you think I felt towards that teacher? Finally, someone who understands my son and sees why he needs to run back and forth and all that. But more than that, she advocated for him to get this prestigious award. So she fought for him to get this award. Think about it. How do you feel when people take you aside and say, hey, your child, they're special. They're gifted. They're unique. They're different. They're chosen. Even more, how do you feel when someone defends your child, advocates for them, fights on their behalf? It feels amazing, doesn't it? So, how does God feel when you fight for his children? How does our Father and the Father of the fatherless feel when you defend his children around the world? Because God knows his children, every single one of them. He knows their names, their prayers, their needs, their hunger, their fears, their dreams. He knows everything. So as a church, Chase Oaks, we say we will fight for these children. We will defend them. That impact report tells you everything we're doing to use our power for the most vulnerable. And that's what God invites all of his people to do, to get involved. In the New Testament, James would say, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after, to take care of orphans and widows in their distress, to take care of those that don't have any power, that have been marginalized, to take care of those that have been abused, that have been abandoned, that have been neglected, right? And what this verse tells me is that there is a religion that is pure and faultless, which means there is a religion that is impure, that is full of faults, that's twisted, that's not what God intended. And that's a religion that ignores the Father's heart. It's a religion that ignores the cries of the poor around the world, that ignores that billions have not heard the good news of the gospel. And that's not what we want to be about. God intended his people, his church, to care for those who could not care for themselves. Let me close with this quote, which is this: if you want to make God smile, follow him into this world. Serve his agenda, which always includes the poor, the oppressed, the orphaned, the widow, and those in need. So for us to step into being God's people, the things that break God's heart must break our hearts. And that's why we have a global strategy here at Chase Oaks. It's to align our hearts with the heart of God. And Jack is going to come up and tell us more about that global strategy. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Ray. First of all, I'd like to apologize if you have a cat. I'm sorry, we did not read that in his manuscript. We didn't know he was going to say that. And if you're a Swiftie, I apologize for that as well. Learning all kinds of things about our elders tonight. Now, what I love about what Ray shared is he shared the heart of God. What is the heart of God towards the most vulnerable, towards the most poor, towards those that don't have access to the things we have access to? And through all of those scriptures, the heart of God is really revealed. But you have to ask the question, so what does that mean? What does that mean for us? What does it mean for me? What does it mean for you? I often will end meetings with staff and say, let's go change the world. And I know when I say that, it can sound like, well, how arrogant are you? You really think you're going to go change the world? But I really mean it when I say, let's go change the world. And I will tell you, you can change the world. God can use you to truly change the world. God can use me to change the world. I think we play a huge part in what God is doing, and the heart that God expressed through those passages, you and I play a huge part in that. But you have to ask the question, so what approach do you, what do you do to go meet the needs of the most vulnerable around the world? You can send a lot of money, you can send people, you can send a lot of resources, and often you can invest a whole lot to those areas of the world that are in great need, and instead of that rock landing in that lake and making an incredible ripple effect, you can throw a lot of stuff and it can land in the mud and just be a thud and make no difference at all. And leave people right where they are, to where it's work that's not sustainable. And so as a church, we have partnered with an organization called Bright Hope World and with Orphan Outreach. And let me tell you just a little bit about those organizations. Bright Hope World focuses on the poorest of the poor around the world. They have a number of staff that go and they travel the world and they find where the poorest of poor are, where the most vulnerable are, And then what they do is they link people like us and churches and organizations like us to people who are already there doing amazing things. So they will go into those countries and find a leader, someone who has a passion, someone who has a conviction, someone who has a huge vision for ministry. And instead of saying, hey, here's a person, let's go help them, they'll just observe them for 1, 2, 3 years, sometimes even 4 years. And they'll say, okay, here's the real deal. Here's a person of character, vision, passion, great strategy. They're doing amazing things. Let's now go help them create something that is not dependent upon us long-term, but helps infuse energy, passion, resources, and helps them get to a place where they can be self-sustaining. And so that's what we do. My wife traveled with Bright Hope World for a year. And she and her friend Linda went to places like India, where they worked with ladies and ladies who were most vulnerable, single moms, didn't have an opportunity to get a job, and they were training people to get a job. They went to orphanages where kids were going to be left on the streets. She went to Zambia to work with, to see pastors who were being trained to be farmers, who could then farm, support their church, and be self-supportive and not dependent upon the West, not dependent on our resources long-term. She went to Ethiopia. She went to Thailand. And in Thailand, she was working with girls or seeing partners there working with girls who were rescued out of sex trafficking. And they worked in sewing centers, and they were able to establish a business of sewing and making an income not dependent upon the sex trafficking world, but dependent on business that they created. It's those kind of things that we need to pay attention to. We want to jump in and be a part of that. So we actually did that as a church. You did that as a church. And we did that in Ethiopia. And there was a man named Worku, who you're seeing his picture right there. Worku had a passion for the people of Ethiopia. And Bright Hope World watched Worku. And they watched what he did. And they said, hey, Chase Oaks, you need to match up with this guy. He's got a huge vision. He has a vision for feeding widows, a vision for starting a school, a vision for planting churches. And here's what happened. Over 150 churches, or over 100 churches were planted as a result of a vision that Worku had and the resources that we were able to give him. A school was started that now has over 2,000 students, 130 faculty. Just an amazing school. And here's the greatest thing about the school. It gives people an education, but it also includes tuition, which they're able to use the tuition to pay the 130 staff, but also pay for 3 widow feeding centers that feed widows every day. And now we're saying, okay, that partnership is done. They are running and they're doing amazing things. So isn't that incredible just to see what God can do through one person who has vision and through a church that says, hey, let's come alongside of you, an indigenous leader with passion, character, vision, strategy, and see what God does. That's the kind of stuff we want to be a part of. We have a new partnership. It's one that's actually not really, I mean, not brand new, but it's been going for a few years. And that's a partnership in Egypt. And I'm going to invite John Stanley, our Outreach Global pastor, to come up. And Ray, come on back up. And while they're coming up, I'm just going to tell you a really funny story. When my wife was working for Bright Hope, she went on a 3-week trip. And on that trip, come on up and have a seat. On that trip, she was taking off 3 weeks, right? First day, one of my daughters, so we have 2 daughters, one of my daughters comes downstairs and she's like, Dad, I cut my finger really bad. This is day one of my wife going out of town and entrusting her 2 wonderful kids to me. And I'm just like, oh, it's probably a scratch. And I look down and it is a gash and blood is flowing. And so I then had to go to the ER, get my daughter stitches. And then I had to call my wife in another country to tell her, hey, here's what happened on day one that you're gone. And we have 3 weeks left. It's going to be amazing. But we survived and she loved those trips. She loved that partnership and loved investing in the people in Bright Hope and meeting those. So let's talk about what's going on now. So John, you just returned. Here's what you don't know about John Stanley. This man can travel the world. He just traveled the world, just returned 4 days ago from Egypt, from India. Don't fall asleep because I know it's crazy hours right now. It's way past your bedtime in that world. Yes. So first of all, thank you for representing us. Thank you for going and continuing to develop those partnerships. But one of those key partnerships is Egypt. So talk to us about what's happening in Egypt. What's God doing there?
Yeah, you bet. So there are 3 things that we actually got to see this trip that we haven't seen before. But we had talked with the people before about the projects that they had planned. And we've been with Egypt and been in Egypt since 2019. We took a visionary trip over there then with Jeff and Christy, myself and Jenny, and we went over to see what it was that Bright Hope wanted to show us that was happening in Egypt. And we were just blown away at the wonderful people, the indigenous leaders that are there, the people that love to serve, and they're serving, as Jack said, the poorest of the poor, the most vulnerable in the city of Cairo, which is, I don't know, it's 25 million or something like that, just in that city. It's huge, and there are so many people that are living way, way, way below even our poverty line and their poverty line. So we have that partnership that we started then, and it's been a real blessing and real great opportunity for us at Chase Oaks to be engaged there. And just there are some things that we saw this time that I wanted to just come back and talk to you about and share with you, because they're doing great work over there. So we are, first of all, I should say, Chase Oaks funds, through your generous giving to the Global Fund, projects in all of our countries where we serve. And so it was Ethiopia, as Jack talked about before, Kenya, Uganda, now Egypt, but we've been in other countries as well. And it's just a blessing for me to be able to go over there and see the effects, the ripple effect, really, of what you guys are giving to the indigenous leaders to do what they do so well. 17 churches in Egypt are involved with empowerment loans. And empowerment loans are essentially a loan that comes from a group, a committee, in a church, or the pastors in a church that have contact with people in the community that are hurting and that need help. And so they offer these loans, usually $100 to $200 loans, and they're over a six-month period to a one-month period, and the people take those loans, and they have great vision. Just like Worku had great vision for Ethiopia, these people have something in mind that they know that's going to make a difference. It's going to have a big ripple effect in their family's life, because they're going to be now self-sustaining as a family when they can have income. Because these, again, are the poorest of the poor. They're oppressed. A lot of them are Christians, and they are looked down upon for being Christian. And so these folks, they know what they want to do. They come and they get a loan. They pay it back. 100% of the people that get loans in Egypt are paying them back. Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
One thing that happens is that we support the fund, this capital fund, and then the churches oversee and the church leaders oversee the loaning of those funds to individuals. And then those individuals pay back, and they pay a small, very small interest. That goes also, when they pay back their loan, it goes back into that capital fund. So that capital fund is a revolving fund. And the cool thing about this, we talked about self-sustaining. The cool thing is that basically creates a self-sustaining capital income that can continue to go on and on and on from loan to loan to loan for who knows how long. And it's just great to see what some people choose to do with their loans. And you've seen some pictures that have been scrolling up here. A lot of people want livestock. They want to get some goats, some chickens, some cows, whatever it is that they know how to raise and they know what to do with them. They get these loans to buy these animals. And these animals not only do they provide something for them to sell, but they also have, obviously, byproducts. You have eggs, you have milk, you have opportunities to sell, you know, whatever, when they're bye-bye. And then so you have opportunities there to make money on these animals for a long time. So you like that one, bye-bye?
That was good.
So basically, though, they have these opportunities to do that, and they are making money, and they're making a difference in the lives of their families, a huge difference, because they're now self-sustaining. I think it's a pretty good example also to mention they have ideas to do businesses. And so we'll see all kinds of businesses that are startup businesses. We've got hair salons. Some ladies choose to do that. We have some guys and ladies that open a market and resell goods within that community in the downtown area of Cairo. Tuk-tuks, if you don't know what tuk-tuk is, imagine a motorcycle, three-wheeled motorcycle with a canvas cover and a crazy driver that's driving people around the town. But they can get these tuk-tuks, and then they can make use of it by gaining money, by transporting people throughout the city. Jewelry shops, you name it, they come up with great ideas. But the thing is, it really doesn't matter what they're doing. They know what they're doing, and they're going to make money with it. And so we love providing money for these loans. I'd like to give you an example. There's a guy named Saeed, and Saeed is lives in Cairo. He has a wife and three children, and he had a really, really good business years ago, 5 years ago. One day he was in Cairo, some sort of a delivery truck had fallen, delivery products had fallen out of the truck, and so he, along with several other people, stopped to help them pick the stuff up and put it back in this truck. Didn't know it, but a car was going to come through and just crash through that whole thing. And it killed six people. He remained alive, but for 4 years, he's had been in and out of the hospital with surgeries and treatments, just hospitalizations and all that kind of stuff. And he had every bone broken in his body except for one arm. He still has a little bit of leg issue. But Saeed somehow got connected to a church that's doing empowerment loans. And the church gave him a loan. He had an idea to open up a shoe store. So he opened up a shoe store, got money to do the rent of space for that, and then is doing wonderful now. In fact, he's done so good over this last year that he's going to get another loan, and that they do that. They offer new loans for those who want to expand their business. And so he's going to do that, and he's just wonderful. We visited him, and he actually gave us a little purse, a little coin purse that I brought back to my wife. He wanted to especially give something to her when we were there visiting. But that's just one story of 800 to 1,000 stories that are going on in Egypt. Secondly, this is one really cool piece too, I think. We, you know, as a church, we, in our capital campaign, we just were talking about next gen. We always talk about our next gen. We talked about it earlier, about the importance of placing value on those that are coming up behind us. And that's true here, but it's also true in Egypt and with the churches there. And these churches, we saw last time, had a desire to have a preschool in their churches. And so the kids on the street there, the little ones, before they go to school, they're often just running around the streets and not supervised. And so the churches want to bring them in to their place, and they want to help them and teach them what they need to know before they get in school or while they're in school. And then also get them off the streets into an environment where they can hear about the love of Jesus. And it's just a beautiful thing. So that's what they wanted to do. And so we said, yes, we agree with that. Let's do that. And so we funded them $3,000 to start up a childcare. And they changed that and decided, you know what? We don't need $3,000. We just need $1,000 to enhance three spots in three of our churches to do childcare. And we can extend it more than what we thought we would, what you thought we could. And so it's a beautiful experience, because we got to see pictures, and you've seen pictures of those things on the screen there. They also have, two of them are building or have built two rooms, a room each, for special needs kids, those with ADHD and autism, because there's no services for parents and families with children with autism in Egypt right now, in that area where they are. So the churches are taking that on to support those families. The last thing I want to talk about, the third thing, is refugees' health. So in the last, I'd say, 5 years, there have been 9 million or so or more refugees that have come from Syria and Sudan into Egypt. Egypt has always been a country that accepts refugees. Jeff reminded me while we were on the trip, he said, you know, Egypt has always done that. Remember Joseph and Mary taking Jesus and they fled to Egypt? Yeah. That's right. That's why he's a head pastor. I'm not. He said they've always been open to refugees. And I thought that was just a beautiful picture, really, of the people there in Egypt that really want to help anybody and everybody that comes across their borders. But this ministry that we support focuses on those people, and they provide short-term helps like shelter, food, blankets, things that they just need when they first arrive. And then they also help with long-term opportunities like job opportunities and career training, vocational training, and other things like that. And so they're helping them holistically with what they need. They're providing food for them constantly. and just doing a great ministry to those people that are coming from other countries. All this happens through the local churches. That's important to understand. Just as we, in our community, we're our local church, and we are assigned this community to love on, to care for, and support. It's no different over there. The local church is doing the same thing, and that's why we really, one of the reasons why we really enjoy supporting them. So finally, I just want to say, these are great partners that we have in Egypt and anywhere else we go with Bright Hope World. But you know what? They're doing the very best they can also with very, very limited resources. And so we count it as a real privilege at Chase Oaks to be able to support the great work that's happening in these countries, or in Egypt specifically. They're reaching the poorest of the poor, the most vulnerable that Ray was talking about earlier just a few minutes ago. And we want to continue partnering with these partners in the work that they're doing. And by doing a small part, you already heard Wendy talk about a small part, we can be that in our global world. We don't have to do everything. We don't have to fix every problem. But we can do our part, and that's what we're doing in Egypt. And I would like to just finish by saying, if you've heard something that you'd like to know more about, or if you'd just like to know more about what we do at Chase Oaks in other countries, in Egypt or wherever, I'll buy you a cup of coffee, a breakfast, or a lunch. All you need to do is just reach out to me, and we can set up a meeting on schedule, and we'll meet together, and I'll share with you really many, many, many more amazing things. I'll have more than 10 minutes. I think I just took more than I was supposed to. But we'll have many, many more things that we can talk about, and we'd love to do that. So just invite me in, email me, or call the church office. I'd love to hang with you.
Thank you. Let's thank John for his work and what he's doing. Thank you for representing us so well. Thank you for updating us. Ray, I know your organization, as you lead this organization, Orphan Outreach, you guys are all over the world. One of the places that you're located is Honduras. Yep. So tell us a little bit about Honduras.
Yeah, first off, that was awesome. So excited for what the Lord's doing in Egypt. Yeah, in Honduras, there are miracles happening every single day. I chose one because it's about a family, a mom named Myra, who I got to meet last summer on a Chase Oaks mission trip, which we're going to talk about in a second. And it was a great, beautiful experience because I was with my family and we got to meet her. She's a woman in the middle there. She has three kids. And Myra did not have a chance to go to school as a child. She grew up in a squatter community. They just took over some land, you know, very limited resources, and didn't go to school. So her greatest dream was for her children to go to school. And her oldest son is named Elias. And when Elias was in middle school, he had a growth spurt and didn't have shoes that fit him. And because of that, the school said he can't come to school anymore. And he was crying. He wanted to go to school. She was crying. But she's a woman of faith. And she gathered her family together and said, hey, let's pray. We believe in God. God cares for us. He's our father too. So let's pray. And they prayed that God would provide a pair of shoes. That's all he needed to go back to school. And then 30 minutes later, our staff at NECO, which is a program that Chase Oaks connects with in Honduras, called her to say, hey, Elias has been accepted into the scholarship program, which we funded as a church. And that scholarship program is going to give him a scholarship for school, a school uniforms that includes shoes. So it was like a direct answer to prayer. It was so beautiful. You got to hear her tell the story. She was crying. She was jumping up and down like Wendy was a second ago. It was beautiful. And what's cool about it to me is, not only did she see a picture of God caring for her with an immediate answer to prayer, but also, you know, she was in a cycle of poverty. Her parents didn't go to school. She couldn't go to school. But right there, we can see that cycle being broken with her children going to school. He's a junior now. He's studying agricultural engineering. He's super intelligent and just loves the Lord and just has seen evidence of God answering miracles. And that's just one story of 19,000 children around the world that are experiencing that type of hope.
Well, thank you for leading Orphan Outreach. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to go with Orphan Outreach. You guys are doing amazing things around the world. Now, when you hear this, you know, one of my goals tonight was that it wasn't just an information meeting, but it was a meeting that helps us get a vision for how I can engage in global impact, how we can make a ripple effect globally, how you can do that. So let's talk about that to close out. One of the things that I would just ask for you to consider, I would ask you to consider going. Now, by that, I don't mean selling your business, selling your house, leaving your family, and you're going to go move for the rest of your life. But short-term trip, we offer a number of short-term trips, short-term opportunities for you to engage in some of what you've heard. So, John, tell us briefly about a couple of those short-term things and things we've got planned for next year.
Yeah, so we essentially have two places we go with short-term trips. The first one would be to Nuevo Laredo, Mexico, just across the border from Laredo. We serve in an orphanage there. They're usually four-day trips. They're very, very family-friendly in a very safe place in a compound where the orphanage is, and it's a very inexpensive trip as well. We've had many families from Chase Oaks that have gone. We typically take about 15 to 18 people at a time, and we make four trips a year. We have one coming up that's over the New Year's Day weekend. However, that was full. Then we have one coming up at spring break, and then one at Memorial Day, and then one on Labor Day holiday. And so we typically do, if it's a Monday holiday, which two of those are, we do the Thursday through Monday. And so people don't have to take a lot of time off work. Like I said, they're inexpensive. We drive down, and just great way to go. Secondly, we do one in the summer during the week of Independence Day. And we go to Honduras, La Paz, Honduras, with Orphan Outreach and Ray. And that is a fantastic trip. I've had the opportunity to be on three mission trips now to La Paz. And we work with NICO, the after-school care for children in that little village. And it's an opportunity to go and just teach kids, love kids, do crafts with them, sing with them, play with them, and just to have... They love having people come in and do that. We also help with sometimes when the instructors can take some time off because we're coming in and we're serving in different ways. But I encourage you to look at that as an opportunity as well. On Monday night, this coming Monday night, right here in the Legacy Campus in the Legacy Room from 7 to 8 p.m., we'll have an informational meeting where you can come and you can hear about both of these trips and just gain some more information. If you think you might want to go, come. And you're not signing up to do anything when you visit the trip or the information meeting, you're just coming to hear. And so we'd love to share with you from people that have gone before on those trips to help you understand what they are. But we encourage you highly to make an opportunity to go on some mission trip somewhere in your lifetime.
What I do know is that when you go, you will never be the same. Yes. It will wreck you. And yet at the same time, it will inspire you and it will change you. And God will give you a vision for what he's doing around the world. So let me encourage you just to prayerfully consider, God, what might I do in 2025 to see what you're doing in the world? And what is going to happen if you do go, it will have a ripple effect on you, not just the people that you go and serve, but it will change you forever, which is a great thing. One other way that you can engage, everything that we do globally as a church comes through our global fund. It's not in our regular budget. It's part of the global fund. So I would ask you, even though I know it's the end of the year, and we put a lot of opportunities in front of you to give at the end of the year. And I would ask you just to go to God and say, God, what might you have me do for the global stuff that you're doing around the world, especially in these areas of Egypt with orphan outreach? What could I do for the Global Fund to continue these kind of things? And I would just ask you to pray and ask God what he would have you do. And last thing, we can all do this. We can sure all pray. We can pray for Orphan Outreach, Ray and his team, and what they're doing around the world. We can pray for Egypt and so many people there that are being discipled and shepherded, that are coming to know the love of Jesus, that are engaging in churches. We can all pray for those things and stay updated through our website and through John as he takes you to coffee and as he takes you to lunch. So that would be wonderful. So I would ask you just to consider that. So let's do that. Let's just go to God right now. And ask God, God, what does this mean for me when it comes to global impact around the world, when it comes to a ripple effect globally? What would you have me do? And just pray about that and let God guide you in that process. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this church and the people that are in it that give generously, sacrificially, and the way that you're using those funds, those resources to change people's lives, to help people know you, to help people engage in a church, to help the poorest of the poor, to help the most vulnerable, whose life is on the line at times day by day. Thank you for the generosity that is given to help those things happen. And God, I pray that you would guide every one of us as we consider, what would you have us do, God? Would you have us go? Are we in a position that we could go this next year? I pray that you would guide us as we think through those things, as we look at the opportunities this next year. And God, we also pray that you would guide us as to how we could give and what we could give to. I pray, God, that you'd continue to grow the Global Fund so that we can continue to follow your leadership as in engaging the things that we engage in globally. Thank you for our partners. We lift them up to you now as they live in such tougher conditions than we live in every day. Continue, God, to use them, empower them. Continue, God, to use them to communicate your love, your grace, your compassion. We lift them up now. And God, guide us as we consider what you would have us to do to make a global impact, a ripple effect around the world. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.